All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
What is good? Welcome back to another episode of the Wheel Wednesday Behind the Wheel podcast. You know, that thing that we drop by and do every Wednesday around 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yep, we're back.
Yep. Scott, Luis, you've seen us before.
We've done this. Or, as I like to refer to myself today, yeah, the Latino Waldo.
So if you've never been part of this podcast, what I would say is welcome. It's nice to see you here. We hope that you would click that subscribe button. It doesn't really do much for us in any real sense, but it does feel good since we take the time out to do these things to watch at least the numbers go
up. Bro, subscribe. You're already here. You're already watching us.
What if it's a broette?
Broette. Subscribe. Yeah. You're already here. You're already watching us.
So that's the deal. So listen, we generally try to keep podcasts pretty focused on, light, fun things, interviews, try to let you learn something. We try to learn something. Like the case in point from last week's podcast when we had Johnny from Nine Lines Racing, which is a super podcast. By the way, if you have any kind of yearn to learn anything about aero and you know, different things you should do to your car and where you can really pick up speed and build downforce and all that stuff, you should go watch that podcast. I would say it will go super quick for you. I also think that right when it starts getting in the middle, you're going to really... He gave so many granular, real suggestions about how to set your car up and really build some more speed, and also how to get downforce in the right areas and what kind of mistakes people commonly make. So if you got the time, it's worth checking out. So what I want to do, though, is I want to take a break from kind of our usual stuff. We've done podcasts like this before where we start talking about things like that we know are coming, like price increases. And for the applicable time, what I wanted you to do, and I want you to listen to me, not because this is super important. And so we've had these before. We've talked about price increases before. It's funny. It's like I made it so far into my career without really ever having any notable or distinguished price increases. And then all of a sudden in the last 2.5 years, I feel like it's just been, you know, with a lot of companies and a lot of parts and a lot of industries, it's been price increase, price increase, price increase. You know what I mean? Like,
and to be fair, without getting into it, there's a lot going on out there, you know, and we got to be cognizant that kind of falls back onto the industry.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, any industry.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think obviously the biggest thing that you're looking at that probably affects you right now is gasoline, right? Like the price of gas has just, and diesel has just skyrocketed in just really a few weeks.
Days. Even days, because just the other day, I was looking at, you know, I was driving by my house. Gas was, now we're talking about New York here, gas was about $3.80. Now it's $4.25 by my house.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But
and what's interesting is that that's going to happen. That's going to go up even more. So if you're watching this, you know, today, go get gas, because, you know, what's coming down the pike is going to be probably the worst that we've ever historically seen.
Hmm.
Yeah. So why am I doing this? Well, because we were talking about what are we doing? This is, you know, a couple of days ago in our regular marketing meeting, we were discussing what are we going to do for a podcast topic? And, you know, that's something we normally do. And we were talking about guests and stuff like that. And while they were doing this, I'm sitting there with my phone and I'm actually texting a bunch of my friends that I know are working on different builds. And I'm like, yo, get your part orders in and get your stuff done in, and you know, stock up on this and stock up on that, because like things are gonna go up like really fast. And they're like, oh, good looks, and that's something that I've kind of gotten used to over the past, you know, few years. I tend to hear it a lot sooner than probably a lot of my general friends, right of my friends that are in like kind of just the general car enthusiast realm.
Yeah. Well, your manufacturer.
Right. Yeah. So we kind of see the raw material costs go up, and by now there's a clear set pattern that I can identify that leads me to know when prices will go up. And when I say prices, I don't mean necessarily our price or another wheel manufacturer's price. I'm talking about in total, like everybody's stuff is going to go up. So I'll talk real quick about what's really exacerbating some of this stuff. I think a lot of it's, if you watch the news, is pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things you may not even be thinking about. And so I'll break them down real quick. I won't spend a lot of time on them because I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter to you. Mm-hmm. What matters to you is kind of understanding, like, how much is this stuff really going to go up? How scarce are some of these things going to become? And we'll talk about that real quick. So situation pretty obvious, right? Like, we knew that we were obviously already in a situation where raw material costs and aluminum and, fuel cost was really perpetuating high prices, mm-hmm. right? That was what was there. Now, on top of that, we've seen all the deliveries and the slowdowns and the unreliable freight instances, but we've been seeing that for a couple years now. So let's take some of this stuff in and just say that was our baseline. This is still our baseline, right?
Yep.
Baseline, supply chain issues, delivery issues, unreliable freight times, extremely high freight costs, which are largely to do with the fuel prices being high for the past couple years. And let's take that out and let's say that's your baseline. Like that's we already had that happening. It wasn't really going to get better yet. So that was there already.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's kind of gear into what has caused this major piece to kind of really explode.
Yeah.
Probably a poor choice of words.
Yeah.
In hindsight. Anyhow, bottom line is we know about this thing that's going on between Russia and Ukraine. So how can these countries that are so far away from us that don't inherently, like, Ukraine is not a country that's known for us
mm-hmm.
getting anything.
Mm-hmm.
How could they play such a dramatic part on a global economy?
Mm-hmm.
So Russia is, they're a superpower of commodities. They are. They have, such a mass of land that they have, a very large resource of natural resources. And so with gasoline, they're one of the world's largest producers. With materials like aluminum, they are one of the world's major contributors. And a variety of other things that we could go into, but it doesn't really matter because the point is there. So now when Russia invaded Ukraine, the world, what's so interesting for me? The cancel culture. See, we've seen cancel culture on celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen cancel culture on so many different levels mm-hmm. of public, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you ever remember seeing it on a country?
No, but, well, without, going too deep into it, mm-hmm. I think it's one of those situations where, propaganda in positive or negative is playing its part here, and we're part of, our country specifically is part of NATO, So because of that, we're kind of seeing that. And it's we're all actively pushing to, against what Russia is doing right now. So,
yeah. And here's the thing. For those of you who are longtime fans and, I shouldn't even say fans. That's not the right word. But like,
and
friends and stuff of us, you'll know that the one thing that we don't do, we didn't do it through any point in time.
Yep.
Koenig is not a political thing. Koenig is a brand. Yep. It does not have an opinion. Individual workers here do.
Yep.
But the brand itself does not have an opinion. Mm-hmm. If you're a car person, we're good, right? Yep. Like, that's always been the stand. Doesn't matter what the environment is, how harsh it is or not. The employees here, they have their personal beliefs. The brand does not. And we don't allow personal beliefs to overshadow a brand decision. We just 100%. Don't. And it's because car people comes in all different shapes, flavors, and sizes.
Yep, 100%.
So this is not a political thing, but what ends up happening is and I think it's really interesting, is that this is the first time where with all the social media, see, and people will say, oh, you know, I'm sure it's happened before, but not really, because it wasn't that long ago that Russia has done, kind of did a similar thing to Crimea,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. And there's one other region there that they're doing. Basically, it looks like they're trying to put the band back together.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to put the Soviet Union back together. Yeah. So, with that said, so obviously there was economic sanctions applied by different countries around the world. The US obviously put pretty strict sanctions on Russia. And that immediately affects their economy. What really was, I believe, the beginning of the major smash is the fact when they cut them off from the SWIFT banks. Because, and this is going to be something that's going to be really interesting, and we'll kind of talk about it, because I think it's, I can't remember of another time that it's happened in my lifetime. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I really can't remember it. But so what happens is, and this is an interesting part, a lot of these countries get together and they ban Russia from the SWIFT banks.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that don't know what that is, but it's essentially, let's say, a group of these banks that allow these, you know, electronic transfers.
This guy basically said it was like kind of like, you know, in smaller way we could put it, it's kind of like the Venmo of countries, kind of like in some capacity. Yeah,
that's a spot on analogy.
Yeah.
So essentially, we remove them. But they've been removed from the SWIFT. And when you do that, you essentially take their ability to electronically move funds, but you also take the ability for them to electronically receive payment, and you limit the ability for them to be able to convert currency.
Yeah.
Why is this important? Because some of you may not know is that majority of all transactions that happen on a worldwide stage, like if a let's say even a factory in Asia somewhere is going to buy aluminum from Russia, could be manufacturing handrails, could be anything, most likely they're going to pay in US dollar.
That's right.
I know that sounds strange, but U.S. dollar really is a benchmark, a very strong benchmark for how you would transmit or for the type of currency that gets transmitted between global war. And it's usually because it's one of the safer currencies.
Yep.
It doesn't have this extreme fluctuation rate. And in addition to that, the U.S. dollar is usually stronger than many other currencies around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, what ends up happening is you run into a situation where now you've taken away their ability to receive and transmit payments to the rest of the world, and you've locked them into having to deal almost strictly with their own currency, which is the ruble,
which it's worthless at this point, but
it's pretty much worthless.
Yeah,
it's worth very little, and they knew that, because if you go back, you know, a few weeks in time, the Russian government themselves, or whatever it would be the equivalent to our Fed, essentially said, "Hey, we're going to raise our interest rate to like 20%," and when they did that because they knew that their currency was going to devalue, but they also needed to get people to reinvest funds back into the government because they needed the cash flow. Mm-hmm. Like, it's that's an immediate sign for crisis. So this happens. Their ruble falls down. Ruble, whatever it is, they falls down to... Ooh, nice bet. Falls down to basically nothing. You know? If it was at a dollar before, it's like 20 cents now. Like, it's nothing. So now, two things happen. The first thing is, even if they could use their payment method to purchase things or to get paid in, the first thing that's going to happen is, if another country is going to be able to even pay you in the ruble, mm-hmm. your currency is worth so little that you couldn't charge them enough exactly. to get any value out of it. You know,
yeah.
20 cents on the, they don't want, they can't charge you the same price. They'd have to increase their prices exorbitantly, which kind of defeats the purpose of the currency change.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
so the first thing is they almost essentially can't afford to sell anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They can't afford to sell anything. Think about all these people that are in Russia. They, you know, they're good people. They work their whole life. They saved whatever money they have, right? Like Russia has, I will say, Russia's come pretty far, you know, in the past, you know, what, 20-something years? I mean, it's been a long time since the whole fall of the Soviet Union.
Yep.
And they clearly had their issues. I mean, people would get mugged for bread, you know what I mean? Like, that's real, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, so essentially what ends up happening is, like, these people work their whole life. They put this money in the bank. Their savings, their money, the stuff that they would use to buy, it's now worth 80% less.
Yep.
80% less. They have no stock market. They have no, you know, no real good economic exchange with the world anymore. They can't sell their goods. They can't buy their goods. They can't, like, they're largely dependent now on China without having a good currency exchange.
So now to ask you, you know, just because, you know, what we've gotten to this, how is this affecting us when it comes to, you know, manufacturing and stuff?
Absolutely. So this is where I basically say to you, if you have a build coming up soon, if you have a build in progress right now, if you have some expendable funds, go buy your parts. Like, straight up, go buy your parts. Because I'm going to tell you that, one, you're going to start to see a lot of different manufacturers. And when I say this, even if it's not car builds, you could be building a house. You could be building, you know, a lot of different materials, a lot of different things. And I'd still say, go get your stuff right now. Because I think over the next week, you're going to see increases. And I think over the next few months, you're going to see some major, major, major increases. Which is crazy. It's unfathomable to me how much we're just going up in price. But with that, with all that said, what's driving it? It's because, one, Russia, when they essentially were cut off, you know, any fuel, you know, they're a large contributor to fuel here in the U.S. and they're a large contributor to fuel in Europe, especially.
Mm-hmm.
So when that gets cut off, now those countries don't have...
They don't have a supply.
They don't have that supply.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happens is you're either going to pivot and find a supply that's more expensive, but generally what happens when you remove a major contributor from the resource game, no matter what resource it is, you now have less resources to go around.
Yeah.
And what happens is that supply and demand thing. Less available production, higher price.
Yep.
Right? We've seen it with cars. You know what's out there. And that's the deal. So what's going to happen is the Russia not contributing fuel is going to clearly cause U.S. pricing to go up. And it's also going to cause the EU pricing to be extremely high.
Yep.
So gas prices are about to soar. And they've already been soaring.
Yeah.
But they're about to go.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what I will say is this. I don't really want to get into anything on this. I understand that the U.S., based off of maybe administration changes,
mm-hmm.
could do things that could make this better, even if it's a temporary measure. We're not political. We're not. I know it's because we're talking about countries. It sounds like we're political, but we're just stating facts.
We're just talking about what's happening.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, when it comes to manufacturing.
Absolutely.
And these things are playing parts in it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So with all that said, again, aluminum is the same way.
Yep.
Russia is a big contributor to aluminum. It's metals, the different you know, raw materials around the world. So what you're going to start to see, you know, and this is where the wheel thing, I guess we'll talk about directly from us. It doesn't matter if we buy aluminum from Russia. It doesn't matter if these companies buy aluminum from Russia. They could be buying Dubal aluminum. The problem is that now whoever did buy Russian aluminum, they can't.
Yep.
So they got to buy other aluminum, which means now those aluminum resources, Dubal aluminum, whatever it may be, they all start not to have enough production. They exactly. all start to become more expensive.
And the demand becomes higher from those that have it available, meaning the cost goes up.
Yeah. And when it does, the price for you goes up. There is no end in sight here. And when I say that, it doesn't mean that it won't ever get better. But right now, in this foreseeable future, there's nothing on the realm that will soften this blow. And because of that, that's how you kind of know prices are going to go up.
And, you know, just and that's one of the things that I appreciate about this podcast is we mm-hmm. want to be straight up with you guys. You know, we want to let you know what's going on. Like Scott said, doesn't mean that it might not change. It's
right.
just that from what we know right now, we want to let you know what we know.
Yeah. So and I think that, you know, let's bring it back to Koenig, because I think that, you know, people would expect that information to come. We have not announced a price increase yet.
Yep.
We've been watching prices go up gradually. We have been absorbing margins quite a bit for a while to try to keep your price point as normalized and as low as we possibly can. Ironic, I get it, but we have been. You're starting to see a lot of manufacturers that are in that stage where they've done similar things. And it's going to get to a point where there's just no margin to absorb. And when that happens, they have to do a price increase, right? So, look, I mean, here's the real crux of the whole thing. Is that as a company, these companies have to stay healthy enough so that they can continue to be around,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We saw all the companies that when the pandemic first started, we saw all these companies go under.
Mm-hmm.
And those were not companies that couldn't necessarily sustain because their business model was bad. It was, well, I guess you could argue it's bad, but they didn't have any cash flow for whatever reason. Maybe they overinvested, maybe they had over inventory, but they didn't have enough cash flow. They weren't healthy enough to be able to ride the thing out. And so what you saw was a lot of the companies that were able to kind of really soar during the pandemic were the ones that had the little bit of time to weather it through and were able to kind of absorb and then figure it out. So look, we don't have to get too much further into it. I think we've kind of covered what it is. The bottom line is, if you have any thing on the horizon, the sooner you get your parts, I mean, unless you're in a position where, like, hey, it's not a priority, this thing gets done, I can wait a few years, even if that was the deal. Maybe it could be longer. I mean, I have no one knows.
Yeah. It could end next week. You don't know.
I mean, it could end horribly next week. So, like, I hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Oh, it could
end
positively. In general. Hey, listen. I like to be optimistic.
I hear you.
That's just how I live my life. Peace and love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, like, where do you see that?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
In my head.
Right. I don't know. So anyhow, so that's the deal. Listen, go if you are building something in the short term, if you need parts, go get them right now. I know, like, I know this sounds really crazy, but, like, I've been talking about building myself, like, this, you know, really cool welding cart thing for myself for a long time. So I just ordered a bunch of metal over the weekend, and it's actually going to be delivered today, which is pretty exciting. But bottom line is, I use a fair bit of aluminum, like 2.5-inch aluminum, you know, tubing, because I make, like, different intercooler stuff and whatever. I use a bunch of different like aluminum stock, flat bars, different things like that when I make brackets. And then I use some steel products and some stainless steel things. And I usually have the need where I'll go out and buy a few aluminum bends. So like I ordered a bunch of stuff to keep in the garage so that as this stuff goes up, I know that I at least have, because the other thing when the price goes up, sometimes supply goes really low. And so you could find yourself stalled in progress. We've seen that before at different heights of this pandemic where there just wasn't product that you wanted to buy, mm-hmm. right? It just wasn't available. Mm-hmm. That could happen again. So like I bought a bunch of, I bought like three or four different aluminum U-bends. I bought some more aluminum pipe, tube. I bought some flat bar stock and some different things. I bought the steel I needed to essentially get almost all the way through except for the top on my welding thing. I don't know what it's going to be at, so I don't want to call it a cart or a table. I'm not sure. Okay. And, you know, so bottom line is like, you know, got these projects out there. Think about that. Think about your materials.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Let me remind you that if you are not subscribed, we really appreciate you getting subscribed. And the reason that subscribing is so important for you, not for us. We told you why for us in the beginning. Now I'm going to tell you why for you. We plan to do some giveaways.
Yeah.
And we also plan to show you our new product really, really soon. Like, it could be any moment. There could be a breaking news release from Koenig.
That's right.
And just boom, new product.
Yeah.
Could be happening. So all that stuff kind of comes to our YouTube channel. So if you get subscribed, click that notification bell, you'll know when we're dropping something. You'll know when we drop new content like we do every Friday. Every Friday we put in another piece of content. So make sure you check that out. And if you haven't checked out my garage tour yet, I'm super interested to hear what you have to say about my garage.
Oh, yeah.
So go check it out.
I liked it. Oh, and by the way, this, you know, just wanted to say.
Yeah.
We're dropping a video this Friday, as always. Make sure you tune in.
Every Friday.
Did you say that already?
Every Friday.
All right,
Friday. I just said every Friday. I didn't say about
that. Long Island, every New York.
But yeah, and we have a top five, and I think it's about
Scott being awesome. The five reasons that Scott's so awesome.
There you go. That's it.
That's what I think it is.
All right.
If I remember correctly. So that's it. Listen, I hope this was informative a little bit. I don't claim to be an economist, and I don't proclaim to be, this raw materials commodities brokering expert. But it's also information we see, so we wanted to share it with you.
It's also not to make you nervous or anything. It's just
to make you nervous.
To be transparent.
No, it's to make you nervous
and to let you know what's up.
Yeah, to make you nervous, because when you're nervous, you'll heed the warning. And you won't be left with people saying, I told you so.
Walk around like this.
That's
my nervous face. That
looks like your constipated face. Anyhow, that's it. Take care of yourself. Have a good week, guys. And we'll catch you right back here next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Take care.
Peace.